Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine. Rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break. Brought to you by Sand Hills Global. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
I want to buy a couple ducks.
I'm bringing two ducks to the office.
This is Early Break.
Good morning, happy Wednesday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. I'm sure it was a late night for many people last night in this country.
I
was up till about midnight.
Were you really?
I was. Yeah. I was trying to stay.
Going over the college football playoff.
Yes,
that's what. Bracket.
Right. Indiana 9th. Come on. Really?
Seems a little low. Yeah. Seems a little low.
I was going to do a whole Bill Shrills on that section. I did not do it on that. But I guess when they did the comparison, a lot of the pundits did it. And I'd looked into it earlier in a couple last week or whatever it was. But if their logo, last year's Michigan, had the same, they were exactly the same. Hadn't played anybody.
Oh, really?
And they were third.
Oh, see, there
you
go.
They were third. And so the logo and the uniform,
it matters. It does matter.
Because even if they hadn't played anybody, if that logo was a different logo, Indiana, if you looked at rankings in the top 10, mm-hmm. twice in the last 50 years, they broke the top 10.
Yeah.
And so that's the reason that they're where they're at. Nice. And they don't have a great schedule. That's a fact.
But they have big opportunities ahead. Michigan, Ohio State, back-to-back
weeks. It all plays out for them.
We're not freaking out. We got two chances in a row to prove that we are for real and to elevate our status here. So
if certain things happen, there is a chance, mathematically, that there could be a 7-way tie in the SEC.
Oh, my God.
A 7-way tie, all 2-loss teams.
Oh, geez.
It goes down if Ole Miss beats Georgia. A lot of things have to happen. But I think one of the most interesting things coming up is going to be the tiebreaker system. I think there's going to be tiebreakers. They're going to be, and you may not go to the first tiebreaker. It may go beyond that to see. Imagine if you have four people tied, the tiebreakers go really deep. Really deep.
They get kind of weird, actually.
It gets
after
weird.
Really,
it gets
that's
really,
part that, of the, that's part of the process.
That's how we're going to do the process. So
very strange.
Yes, very strange.
But we will get to more of the initial football playoff rankings in the 7 o'clock hour. Yes. This is not a political show.
Mm-mm.
We are not.
It's not.
Never have been.
But we do have things to talk about that as of this morning, per almost every outlet, including the AP. It appears that there is a new president. It is the old president. Donald J. Trump wins the election last night.
Cleveland, is that right?
Last night.
Last time it happened?
Yeah, Grover. I think the only time ever is Grover Cleveland, who has won it, then lost it, then won it again.
Hmm.
Grover Cleveland and Trump.
And it's calm right now.
Very calm. Everything's calm.
Really calm out there. Look, there's nobody. It's like there's nobody out there.
It is.
We're looking out on O Street. Oh, there's a tow truck. We're looking out on O Street.
That's normal.
It's 11th. We're on 11th and O, if anybody is unfamiliar with our
show. If anybody wonders also, they've completely shut down any sort of construction on the hotel across from us. That was going like
crazy. What happened?
That was remember that every day?
We saw a bunch of mattresses going there like 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
There's like, I don't know, 50, 60 mattresses that were outside. That was 2 weeks ago.
I'm not sure if that's what should be going in there first, because right now the chance of them checking somebody in is a little slim. Not a lot of people checking in.
They're boxed, right?
Raining.
they've been soiled by the rain. Yeah. They're a little bit musty now.
Simple. Quick question. Quick little cleanup thing here. Nuts and bolts. Were the mattresses in boxes?
Were they boxed?
Please tell me there's not mildew or mold in these mattresses.
So what's going on?
I don't know. I should go walk across the street and check the progress and see what's going on. Not right now. After the show. Maybe
send him over.
Who are you asking?
I do a Hampton progress. Hey, what's the status? When are you guys going to open up? Like 2029? When is this happening?
That's what Jake is. You're like that too, Bill. You're very inquisitive.
I would be.
You'd walk over there.
I'd stick my head and see, hey, what's going on here? Give me a little up. I'd ask for a
minute. Nothing going on. It's dark.
Yeah, right now. And it's what we miss is every day someone trying to get inside the building because there was confusion
knocking on the front door,
knocking on the front window. There was someone confusion every day,
peering through.
It was really good.
Someone in there.
Yeah, I was walking. Are we doing idle chit chat?
We are. This is idle chit chat.
Yeah, yes, sponsored by
Renew Your Auto.
David, I was walking Sugar yesterday, and there was no school.
No, there
wasn't.
And
was so there not. Was a young man, I'm going to guess him maybe eighth grade freshman high school, and he's walking down the street kind of towards me. And I kind of veered off, went to the other side with Sugar, because Sugar gets pretty excited when she sees other people. So I was kind of veering over, and then I look, and he's walking, and he's got an electric guitar.
Oh.
And he just kind of practiced playing it.
Okay.
And then I see it's a bass. So I stopped him. I yelled at him. I go, hey, are you any good? He goes, yeah. I go, are you in a band? He goes, yeah. I go, that was really cool. The guy just
play a little bit.
Yeah, we just stopped practicing as he was walking to get outside, just to get outside the house. But I mean, he's in a band.
Eighth grader.
Yeah,
with a bass,
and he was in a band.
Not plugged in though.
No, not plugged in. So it was a little not plugged in.
Couldn't play it.
But I was impressed. I was very impressed.
This is impressive. Yeah, me and Bullet. Bullet's like me. When he sees people, he's like, "Do we got to do this?" He doesn't get excited.
I would say she being Sugar is way.
Jake, just it's fine.
Is way less.
Not everybody's the same.
I know that, and I love Bullet. I get just like you. That's great. It's wonderful.
Sugar doesn't. Humans don't interest her very much. They really don't. No, not unless they really saw. But a human with another dog,
yeah,
high interest, very high interest in that. Yes. When she sees another dog, she gets excited, and then also the postman. The postman gives her a treat.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Smart move by the postman.
Yeah, very smart.
They probably get attacked at times.
Yes.
Hey, Ben, we have not acknowledged Ben at all.
Young Ben
are we not acknowledged Ben?
I had to call young Ben this morning.
Ben came in also. It seemed like he was bitter. I don't know what it was.
Didn't seem the happiest this morning.
Yeah, he was,
I seem pretty happy this morning.
I think it was more just rest. I think it was more on the rest. Was it, was Ben?
It's not,
just
it's tired. It's not tired. Civil unrest.
Well,
he's just not very rested.
Yes. He wasn't happy. Jake had to call him this morning early.
Yeah, I don't think Ben appreciated it. Okay, I beat Ben to work today. And me and Bill got at the same time. But I got a new phone 2 weeks ago, and I don't have the alarm set up. And so the alarm was going crazy in here. I couldn't turn it off. I said, Ben, you got to turn this alarm off right now. I'm going crazy.
And he did it.
Bill's outside just hearing this.
My face is against the window. Yeah, I just went in.
It's your phone?
My phone can stop the alarm, but I got the new phone, and I'm not set in.
What would have helped would Ben just coming to work on time? That would have been a big. That would have got it.
Well, he's a little bit low this morning. Yeah, a little bit sad.
Low T?
Yeah. Heyman.
Depressed.
Heyman.
Tomorrow,
your song will make a difference for Ben.
It will. A Pete song tomorrow.
I shouldn't say stuff like that. I mean, he's not 20 years old.
Yeah.
He doesn't have low T. Okay, what else?
Anything else?
I did not have an exciting day at all.
Did you write?
It was a work day because of the stuff that went on.
Was there media?
There was no media yesterday.
Because of the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There was media Monday, no media yesterday. There was happenings yesterday, which we'll get to.
Now, typically on Tuesdays, we will hear from the coordinators, Tony White and Satterfield. But with the bye week, they didn't speak, which might have been great for them.
We could have had Dana Holgorsen and Phil Snow down there.
We could have talking.
That'd be incredible.
We have some newcomers today for our press conference.
Meet the new guys. That would have been awesome. Right.
I shouldn't have said that in a lighthearted manner. But anyway. No, okay. No, there was no official media yesterday. Nothing.
Oh, on that note, then we'll wrap this up. That is Idle Chit Chat, sponsored by Renew. Please call or text David at 402-833-3858 or go to renewyourauto.com and do everything from body shop, ceramic coatings, window tinting, spray in bedliners, paintless dent repair, and more. Renewyourauto.com. Okay, yesterday we did the show, and about 9 a.m. or just actually before that, there was some significant news regarding Nebraska football that Dana Holgorsen, the former West Virginia and Houston head coach, had been hired as an offensive analyst for Nebraska football. Now, Matt Rhule said Monday he was going to do anything, and Saturday was going to try to find things outside the program, some eyes to assess the situation. This was pretty quick after that. yesterday with Holgorsen.
Really quick, I mean, he had some quotes in the on Monday's press conference, Matt Rhule. At the end, where it didn't strike me until yesterday, then I thought, oh, that's what he was probably talking about. He said twice, excuse me, he said, there's nothing I won't do to push this program forward. And he said it again, there's nothing I won't do. And I think he was just, you know, I think that Holgorsen already was in town, or if he wasn't en route on Monday. And Phil Snow, longtime defensive coordinator, several different places. I don't know when he got here, but those would qualify as pretty. I mean, Bill can address this. You don't see it very often that you bring in consultants, I guess, during the season with three games left. The other thing I wanted to tell Bill, Jake, you're kind of young, but I didn't know this. I wasn't thinking about this till this morning. Phil Snow, Bill, was the defensive coordinator for Arizona State in 96.
So when they beat Nebraska?
Yeah. When they shut out two-time defending Nebraska, number one ranked Nebraska. He was just a young guy then. He must have been about 31 years old. But yeah, then he went on to do other things. But yeah, how rare is it to bring consultants in season? Have you seen this sort of thing? You've been to a lot of places. You've coached a long time.
I've never been part of it. There was most of the time when I've been a part of an extra source that was in the building. I've been in different places with. They were always there, kind of from the start, I guess. Okay. They were there earlier on in the season.
Okay.
Type of thing. So yeah, not seen that exactly. The difference now is, and I have no idea what they'd be doing, but the difference now is when you bring someone in as a consultant or any level, they can actually coach on the field if wanted to.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's legal. You can do that. There's no limitations anymore.
Okay.
And so I'm not saying they are.
No,
I'm just giving information out that whoever comes in now could actually, if Dana Holgorsen wants to talk to the quarterback, there's no compliance looking at him.
Okay.
They're not looking at him and say, oh, you can't do that now. You have to stay inside, or you can come out, but you have to stand off to the side. And that you can, they can all do whatever they want. There is no limitations anymore.
Interesting.
So I'm not sure I would be shocked if that is actually what's happening, but he might be able to input something right there during practice if there was something that he wanted to do.
The other question that people had yesterday is, okay, he's kind of an air raid guy. Comes from the Howl Mummy, Mike Leach tree. Is this an air raid move? I don't think that's what this is. Could I be wrong on that? Of course, I could be wrong. But do you see that? Wouldn't that be an odd circumstance for Nebraska to move to an air raid after everything Rhule has said about wanting to run the ball?
They're probably I would take this as anytime that I would go visit another staff for professional development or go to a coach's clinic or whatever it would be, especially if I went to visit someone, I always try to come away with one or two things. I never came away with I'm going to change to everything that program's doing. It's one or two things. So I would imagine they would look at it and say, what are one or two things that you could add to us offensively?
Maybe
something that can add to what we want to be able to get done.
Could he help the downfield passing game, for instance?
Yeah, there could be something there. It could just be wherever the small part of it is. But that's what I would imagine. It's like, what are the one or two things we might be able to add to us that can get us some more yards, more first downs, whatever it is?
The Holgorsen, there was a dalliance with him, I think it was in the offseason, January. And I don't know what was going on. He spent an appreciable amount of time in Lincoln, 1 day or 2 days. But I don't know exactly if that was, maybe he was going to coach quarterbacks, if that was the idea, and be a co-coordinator. I can't imagine Dana Holgorsen being a co-coordinator under Marcus Satterfield. but whatever reason, it didn't work, and now something's worked. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's again, the what you heard from people is that this is a place that wants to run the football more. Holgorsen, a high-flying offense.
Yeah.
He's had success at West Virginia and Houston, but does that fit in the Big Ten Conference at Nebraska? Does it fit anywhere? I mean, maybe at Oregon, maybe at Ohio State. Can Nebraska, if it goes that way, operate well. We look at Wisconsin. Wisconsin with the dairy raid, which is, again, they're running the football pretty well up there right now, but dairy raid with Phil Longo.
The dairy raid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't have the best results passing the football.
No.
Now they changed this year for a couple games and really started running the ball better.
Mm-hmm.
But again, what's the emphasis going to be if Holgorsen is really involved this year and going forward?
Well, and yeah, that's what we got to kind of back up. And I mean, is this the next offensive coordinator? We don't know that. Mm-hmm. Right now, it was in a consultant role. It seems like it would probably go in that direction. I imagine Dana Holgorsen would have other options, right?
Yeah, probably has other options. And then also, you know, it's a situation. Who knows, ever getting anybody's like lifestyle. But I would imagine one of the things that may have hit him was last year was because things ended at Houston. Mm-hmm. And maybe the main reason he didn't come to Nebraska at that time was that he just maybe needed a break.
Yeah.
He may have just came off of it. Just like, you know what? I don't know if I'd be great for you right now. Mm-hmm. I just came off of this. So I may, and now it's what? 2.5 months later.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like, okay, maybe now the timing for him was better, but that's a sheer hypothesis.
Yeah, that's an okay hypothesis. It I'm glad you mentioned it because there is, now I don't mind saying this because I there's things I do know. Phil Snow, I think Phil Snow was Rule's first choice to be DC. Now Snow was coming out of Carolina, and I do, and what I've heard, what I was told is that Snow wanted time off, so he didn't follow. He didn't follow Rule. Go ahead.
Phil Snow, absolute incredible person.
Really?
Yeah.
I was wondering. I should have called you.
I know him fairly well, but I don't know him. We never coached together.
Uh-huh.
But this is how you tell. You always talk about how people treat people, uh-huh, and what's their true personality, who, mm-hmm, they are, and what's going on. So I was a young coach, and I think it was at New Mexico State at the time, and I started recruiting an entire new area through Sacramento, the junior colleges, all through the San Joaquin Valley, through Delta, and all these.
You recruited that area?
Yeah, I had every place. So I'm working through that area, and I would meet up with Phil Snow all the time at Arizona State, and that's about the time that they went to the Rose Bowl during that time. Arizona State was a hot name.
Who was it? Yeah. Bruce Snyder?
Snyder, yes. Yeah. And so
he was the head coach.
So I see Phil, I can remember at Sacramento City actually being in the press box for a game on a Saturday. We both had bye weeks, and being there for a game in just horrible weather, like 50 degrees, raining, like that. But Phil taught me the ropes of all the areas of the schools.
Did he really?
In that area of kind of like, hey,
really?
You know, where to get to, what to be able to do, just some different things. But he was always, and it wasn't like over the top. Like it wasn't like, oh, Bill, you need to do this. I'm going to tell you to do it. He didn't come off right that way at all. But he was very helpful. And also he wasn't a condescending logo guy where he's like, oh, Mexico State. How's it going? Like that. He was very, very positive.
Cool.
Very. So
I like that.
As a human, great guy. Holgorsen, I do not know. I've never met him before. So, but I've dealt directly with Phil Snow. When Phil was at Temple,
mm-hmm,
I would see him a lot, and then we'd work camps together. And I was at Rutgers. We were within virtually an hour and a half of each other.
He had a great run. He did. Snow had a great run at Temple and a great run at Baylor. Baylor's last defense was the number one defense. His last defense at Baylor in 2017 was the number one defense in the Big 12, and you know it was an 11 win team. He was the defensive coordinator at Temple when they won 10. There was a year at Temple in 2014 when they only allowed 17.5 a game. Now, Jake, you would probably look at me and go, oh, so what are we talking about here? Is he going to be a defensive coordinator?
I would say this, though.
I'm not saying that.
But how many times do you ever hear a head coach say time and time again that he's almost vouching for his current coordinator to be a head coach?
Right.
Matt Rule has said Tony White's going to be a great head coach many times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not concerned if he were to leave saying, hey, I got a guy to replace him. Mm-hmm. How many times do you hear, now maybe I'm wrong, maybe it doesn't happen all the time, but I don't, Matt Rule says a lot that Tony White will soon be a great head coach somewhere.
He does say that all the time, and maybe it's because he feels good about Phil Snow.
If he leaves, we got a guy.
Right. Now, Snow's 68, but I don't know what he wants, if he wants to do it. I don't, all that's just assumptions. Is Tony White viable as a head coach candidate right now? That's the question you have to ask, right?
Yes.
I'd say perhaps, but this year hasn't helped him as much.
A lot of things have to be a connection type of thing. We're you know, whether something where he has a tie. That's usually big in those spots. Somebody has a tie to a certain place, and that always stands out with whether or not you're viable or not with certain jobs.
Now, Holgorsen numbers. He has had a excellent career. Now, he's had 6 years where his offense has averaged over 500 or more yards. Okay, 6 years. That's a big number. Now, none though, since 2012. And I don't know what that means exactly. Maybe it means nothing because won since 2012. In 2018 at West Virginia, they averaged 512 yards. Had some down years since then. He only averaged 360 at Houston in the 2023, the year he got fired. But anyway, he's had Graham Harrell and Case Keenum and Brandon Weedham and Geno Smith and Will Greer. Good quarterbacks.
Yeah, he has a new quarterback.
Those are good. Those guys are good. But that's the question that caught me off guard yesterday was, are they fixing to run the air raid? And I'm like, that's not something I was thinking about.
It never crossed my mind. It really did. It did not even cross my mind that there's going to be all of a sudden you're going to see a complete change of all offensive philosophy.
All right, that's what I said.
I think it goes back to someone, just another set of eyes, look at it. And then where's there a couple things that we can do to change? Because when you look at like every week, generally defensively, you have your core, and then it's like, okay, I'm going to bring this one back out. I have this blitz. I have this third down package. We're going to do something a little different. But if something major, even within now, when we had the coaching change with myself here, we had a bye week before we played Indiana, and we did. We changed a lot. We changed up.
Interesting.
You could tell the first week back that, this looks different.
We changed a lot. We changed. I was just
you can do it.
So you can do things. I just don't think that's where they're at.
Okay, now here's the other question, guys. Okay, so we're talking about this year. They're not going to throw it out and just start running air raid. But what if he were to take over as offensive coordinator? Could the question, Bill, for you is, could Dana Holgorsen do something other than an air raid offense?
Yes, the question is just like it is. Can Jeff Monken coach someplace that it's not that's not triple option? He runs triple option. Jeff Monken's an incredible coach, and he could go anywhere and adapt just like they're doing out, just like out at San Jose State with the former Navy coach Ken Niumatalolo.
Yes, Niumatalolo. Right? Yes, you're close.
I know how to say it. It didn't roll off my tongue, bro. So I don't want to be.
Good job, Jay.
He's a great coach, and they're doing fine.
They are.
And they're not running triple option.
Okay.
They have versions of option football.
Okay.
And my point is, you can either coach or you can't.
That's what
I
think.
It's just like recruiting. You either can or you can't.
But Bill, you know what you hear sometimes. Now I say that, but what people will throw back at me is, no, simple guys do what they do what they do. If Tony White's a 3-3-5 guy, he's running a 3-3-5 because that's what he does.
But there is some truth to that. I mean, that was one reason when I made changes at Nebraska was because, but for one reason was, as I told the staff, I said, if it's broke, I don't know how to fix it of somebody else's stuff. And I also got, when I was approached a year ago, whatever it was, to be a defensive coordinator, everything sounded great, but he was like, Bill, we're going to run my system. And the system he has is good. And I just told him, go hire a guy from your system that you know.
Yeah.
I said, if I'm up there and all I'm doing is I'm presenting your stuff that I don't understand it maybe as well. And I would understand it. I wouldn't be like, I don't get this.
Right.
But
you could
have
do
to,
it.
But you could easily do it. But that is harder. So that is harder for someone to be like, hey, this is what you do. I want you to call it, but don't do what you do.
Now, go ahead.
In terms of this year, again, for Holgorsen, again, if he's coming in to help consult Satterfield in the offense, I think right now it's hey, how can we get some simple routes for our receivers and our quarterback? We are scuffling in the passing game. We have guys aren't getting open. Plays take too long to develop. How do we get some quick hitters to get both our quarterback's confidence back and our receiver's confidence back? I mean, you don't have to reset the whole system. It's what can you do right now to simplify a couple things that aren't, don't take 10 seconds to develop a play?
One of the first things is they got to win at the line of scrimmage. And I don't know. I mean, maybe you get your, I don't know. You got to win at the line of scrimmage, but no, that's right. What can you get stuff going downfield? Maybe that's why he's here. I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of things you don't know in this conversation.
It becomes an incredibly intriguing game. If you're sitting at Nebraska and you go, okay, they're playing USC,
right,
a different quarterback. So we got to go back. We got to watch some UNLV film. We got to see what we're going to get. It's still Lincoln Riley's offense. He's doing what he does. Mm-hmm. There'll be more run game, be more quarterback run game. You go through all those things. Then
on the other
punch, counterpunch, and they come back with, and also they bring in two other analysts that come in. And so if you're sitting there as a defensive coordinator going like, hang on a second.
Would you just go,
I'm not worried about it. No, you have to, because if the head coach says something to you, right. Did you guys prepare for this? Did you look at some Houston film? Did you look at some of these things that might come up? You can't go down a rabbit hole where all of a sudden you're just repping Houston.
Right.
Just break Houston down. No. That's not the deal.
Interesting.
But it just makes both sides are in their offices. And it's like, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
God, that is fascinating. I wondered about that. I wouldn't have predicted that, but that's good. That's
there's no chance that
punch counterpunch, as you said.
Yes. There's no chance that the coaches at USC are like going like that. What? Or like on the day before the game. Holgorsen's there.
Oh, no.
When did that happen?
Oh God, we're screwed.
No. Are you kidding?
So nobody's sitting over there at USC going, "We're not going to run Holgorsen's stuff. Yeah. So don't worry about it."
Yeah. So they're all there. Everybody's like, they're right now, that the analyst GA group, whatever, is like, "Hey, peel through this." And what you're going to peel through is like, "Okay, same. That we see that stuff here at US. This is normal. Unusual. This is unusual." Mm. So what I'd be looking for if I was on there, and I have no idea what Holgorsen runs offensively as far as formations. I do know, but I'd be like, do they run a bunch of unbalanced? Do they have an extensive empty package? That's what we're going through your mind on defense.
Okay.
And then the same, and then on the other side, like I said, on Nebraska side, it's like, okay, what do they do? Okay, how are they going to run this quarterback? He's had limited reps this year. He hasn't played very much, but everyone knows he's more of a runner. That's what he is. Now, he can throw it, too. Just remember, this quarterback, he was committed to Georgia.
Maliva?
Yeah. When he went into the portal, he committed to Georgia.
He can probably play. He's a bigger dude.
And then went to USC. And he's young. He's their future.
But he got beat out.
And then, yeah, I don't know. It's the same
thing. Moss had six touchdowns. It's
the same thing I talk about. All of a sudden, he had the six touchdowns. You kind of hang with him. And then Moss goes out, and then probably one of the worst things happened. What happened? They beat LSU
off the bat
in the opener. It's like, we got this.
He doesn't. He never really wowed me, Miller Moss.
He had three, and he played. I mean, he was a big part of the loss last week at Washington. The three interceptions.
Again, I watched the first quarter of that game closely. The USC had great position both their first two drives, a long kickoff return, and then also an interception, and they did nothing with it. He did. He looked horrible. In the whole game, again, he had a couple of drives. At the end of the game, he blew it twice in a row. They blew it.
Okay, I got to get back to Nebraska here. Jake, there's a question for Jake.
Jake.
You're kind of run the ball guy. Kind of.
Yes, I am.
Okay, now, is there any concern? Are you looking at this and are you monitoring it closely from that standpoint?
I think you can be creative in how you run the football. You don't have to just always be I formation run like that. You can run the ball successfully in this conference various ways.
Yeah.
So, I'm not concerned with that. I think he understands that's important in this conference to run the football. Yes, he has a ton of experience passing it, but I think he's also had respectable run games where he has been.
He's
just ignored the run completely.
I think his best... No, of course not. I do think what I heard yesterday was his best yards per game was 4.3 rushing. So, it's not great. They haven't run the ball. He's an air raid guy. But I don't think with this current sitting head coach that this current sitting head coach would just go against everything he's been saying for 2 years. It'd be really odd to me if he does. If he says, I did want to run a running back run game, a traditional run game, and use play action, but you know it didn't work, so we're going to air raid. I don't see that. I think that would be very odd.
Well, again, that's why I'm curious from the fans, 464-5685 in Texas. What was your initial response to the news of Holgorsen coming to Nebraska?
Jim.
Because I'd like to hear what the people think. Okay. We're giving our thoughts.
We're the people. Let's talk to the people. Also, remember, your number one ability is availability. And the first place that they had to look at was who's available to come in. And so it might be like, well, yeah, we'd love to have, we'd love to have the coordinator for the Packers come in. He's a little busy now. Yeah. So who's available?
Holgorsen was doing something at TCU. Yeah. That's a foggy discussion.
Yeah.
But he was.
It is foggy.
It was more of an analyst role, probably was expendable. So here he is. Here he is in Lincoln yesterday being introduced to the team. And I, now where it goes from there, it, there's a lot of questions, but we, and there's a lot we don't know, and we won't know until we hear from Rule.
We have a question from Jared in Nashville who says, can you see Dana helping make changes in a certain position group, looking at serious depth at receiver? Someone has to be good at blocking there. Can you assess that in the bye week?
Sure. Well, I'm sure you do, because he, I mean, he'll
be on the field.
In his offense, that there was a lot of quick throws. There was a lot of bubbles. So in bubbles, you have to block.
And screens. So,
understand.
More screens, please. But a lot of bubbles. You're right.
You keep stirring it up with the fans, don't you? You keep stirring things up.
Screens. What he does. Hey, okay, give me a little bit more of his offense. Well, you know what the air raid is. Quick passing. I mean, lots of slants, right?
Thanks, Steve.
Go. What is it?
The one thing that they did was when you studied Leach was he was so good at not multiple formations, but how they repped and how they practiced. They just got so much work in their looks and what they were going to go to, and then how they could adjust plays on and how they could adjust plays within the play. And they were just that how they practiced, and that is going to be something that's not going to come up. That's not going to come up as far as like where they're also going to change complete practice schemes of how we're doing things. I just don't see where that's a viable situation right now. I would just, if it were me, just general thoughts would be he's not very involved. I don't see him all of a sudden running the quarterback meeting. I think he's sitting in. I think he's watching. He's looking. He's trying to come up with like, hey, here's something where I think we can get a play. I'm watching this team, so it's like, okay, what's USC? Oh, they're a quarter, half team. They're this. If this was me, if I was scheming, this is what I would look to. And a lot of times, they're also going to say, we already have that in. That happened to me when I was here. It's like a couple of calls ago. I really like this call. Do you guys have we have something almost identical to that? I'm like, okay, keep it just like that, and we'll call it the same because that's identical to something that I want done. There's some things we had to change everything on. But so I would imagine that he's going to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And nothing else. They said, this is like, I can present this to the quarterback coach and the coordinator. Here are some things that we like, that I would like versus this team. Okay. This is what we like in this. That's what I would think is going on.
We will dive more into Holgorsen as the show goes on. Before we get to break, though, I'm sure people were up late last night. They're starving right now. Late. If you're hungry, breakfast, brunch, and lunch at Early Bird, 19th and K, free parking, lots of free parking in downtown Lincoln. And they have also breakfast burritos, chicken fried steak, which is what, Bill?
Smothered.
Yep, a variety of pancakes, cinnamon roll pancakes, blueberry pancakes, banana pancakes, and
Jesus.
The world famous hash holes. Stop by today at 19th and K,
see Early Jamie. Bird.
Go see Jamie and get yourself a delicious breakfast, brunch, or lunch also in Omaha and Iowa. Sean Callahan is next on Early Break on the Ticket.
Young.
88% of the work week is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.